Yeah, let me bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here, and we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so appreciate that. No company with us, so again, I ask brethren to look around. Please share a bulletin, or at least an outline, if they would like to follow along with me in the lesson this morning. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 was the key, one key verse. Where Paul said, be thou an example. Highlight that word example. An example of the believers. Wow. By definition, you know what an example is? It's primarily it's something that's shown or a specimen or something that we want to trace. It might could be a sample for us to follow after or to show by example. But we know what, if someone said, I would copy this. So we have something to look at, something to imitate. So now Paul says, I want you to be the example for others to copy. In Acts 20, verse 35, look, see that? No, I didn't put that one in your notes. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul said, I have shown you all things. I've shown you. So laboring, you ought to support the weak. So Paul says, you know what I did? Do that. Copy me. You see how I picked up the fallen or encouraged the weak? Do that. You know, it's, if you have an example, it's something or someone that serves as a pattern. We want to imitate that. Or I guess it could be a bad example. Don't copy that. But it's something that's used to serve as a precedent or a model. What if everyone followed my example in attendance? What would our assembly look like? What if everyone's followed my example in Bible study? Would knowledge increase? If everyone here followed my example in prayer, how many prayers would be said? If they followed my example in ministry or service, would something get done? What about in my stewardship? Could we support missionaries? Paul said, be the example. Now, if all of us were the examples, wow, well, this would really be something. Just to highlight some illustrations, God is our example. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Wow. Of course, we know Bible says in John 1 verse 18, no one's seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son has. And so Jesus now says in John 1 verse 18, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So now we look at Jesus to know what God looks like in attitude and emotion. What would God do and what did Jesus do? So we have a heavenly pattern. We already have a heavenly example. So now, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for hereunto were you called. All right, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? Or how should I behave? Well, here's how you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow or walk in his steps. So we know the pattern. We've been given the model. We know what Christianity should look like. And now Paul is exhorting one another to be an example to others. Yeah. Of course, and Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be followers of me as I follow Christ. So when I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Or the other brethren, those who are seated beside you. But when the example is set that we should follow, let's follow it in our prayer life, our ministry, our Bible study, our attendance. So Paul said to Timothy, all right, here's some areas to think about or to work on. Number one is in word. I think it's in two areas. Obviously, when you think about words or words that we speak, we're thinking about language that we use. The manner in which we use our language. Jesus gave a warning in Matthew 12, verse 36. I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, he'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So there's something about our speech. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers.
Oh, that's right.
So I want to be an example in my speech in the way that we converse, or the things that I say. Again, Ephesians 4, verse 31, he said, let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Don't do that. So Paul says, Timothy, here's the example, and this is what your speech should look like. I remember Dennis Burchett's not here. He's staying home with Susan after her surgery. But when Dennis Burchett retired, one of my favorite stories, at his retirement party, you know, people get up and they say good things about you. And his principal, Linda Carlton, at the adult school where Dennis taught, it came her time to give the speech, and she recalled something about Dennis, and she said, you know, Dennis always would have something humorous to say. You know, he always would tell a joke. You know, come in the office and say something that, you know, try to cheer us up. And he said the jokes that he told, they were always clean. They weren't funny, but they were clean. So that was her compliment to Dennis, you know, in his retirement. So we want to be an example in our word, and Dennis was, and the principal noted that. If my employer wanted to say something about me, would they note my speech in their comments? Of course, the second idea of being an example in word is as a preacher, Timothy was to preach the word.
That's right.
The word. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, be instant, in season, out of season. He's called on Timothy to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So in my speech, I need to be the example, especially when it's sermon time, to be sure that I preach the word. Be an example in word.
Right.
And speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Then number two, it's in conduct. So not only in speech or in word, but in conduct. I put in your notes, even, you know, we have the slogans or the mottos. You know, practice what you preach. So even our language, we say, oh, this is what you should do. Well, I'd better do it too. Practice what you preach. The other expression, walk the talk. I heard someone else say, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. I don't amen that. There is a time to hear a sermon. But in conduct, we want to see your words in action. Those encouraging words, those gracious words. Yeah, be an example in word, in conduct. Yeah. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, you've fully known my doctrine, and then the next phrase is, and my manner of life. Oh. My purpose, my faith, the long-suffering, charity, and patience. Paul also wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, I write these things to you that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, the ground of truth. I write these things so you know how to conduct yourselves, behave yourselves. Wow. So we have the instruction from the Word of God, the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles. We have the examples of their lives, and they furnish us the example for our behavior and attitude and emotion and speech. Yeah. Example. In word, in conduct. Number three is in love. It's a great motivator. When someone came to Jesus and asked, what's the greatest commandment? In other words, what's the best that I can be? And Jesus responded in Matthew 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. The second is likened unto it, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets.
Yes.
Now Paul reminds Timothy of that. I want you to be example in love. And Timothy, what's the best you can do in love is give God priority. So if everyone followed your example or my example in loving God with all that we have, all the gusto we can muster up, what would the lives of one another look like if you copied my love? Wow. And then loving our neighbor. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, when our hands go up, I love you. Count on me. Then Jesus finished the statement, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, I mean there's a conduct required. You know I love you. Number four, you have the other verses. Number four is in spirit. That has a reference to the disposition in which we do things. First, to our character. Our character is manifested by our actions. If I'm going to worship God in spirit, even in an assembly like this, what are my physical features, my spirit, my overall demeanor as I sit in the pew and give God my worship? And I want to be the example that my disposition looks right. I hope it doesn't look like this. Oh, 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 oh. Uh-oh. If everyone followed that example, I'd have to wake you up. In spirit, God has not given us a spirit or characteristics of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Right. So there should be, even in our spirit, in the assembly, an element of enthusiasm. An element that says, I'm glad to be here. I really am. I want to enjoy the friendship, the fellowship of one another. I come to give my praise and my worship to God. There's an emotion that should pervade an assembly like this. It should be one that involves a spirit. Yes. Number five is in faith. Faith has reference to Timothy's faithfulness and trustworthiness as an example. We want you to be an example in faith. You're not talking about the faith or the doctrine, even though that's, we want to be faithful in word doctrine. But in Titus 2, verse 10, Paul gives a similar phrase to Titus as he does to Timothy. It says, showing all good fidelity, trustworthiness, faithfulness, good fidelity. Can we be counted upon? That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So not only are we faithful in teaching, but we are should be faithful in living. And the admonition here is, if we're going to be faithful in faith, or an example in faith, we want to be honest in life. Yeah. Have the Master's interest at heart. Boy, oh. Quite a list. Then number six, it's in purity, a disciplined life, self-controlled, well-behaved. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2, Paul says, for you know the commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know the commandments. That we have knowledge of what God wants of us. We know the requirements. We know the obligations. And Paul writes that to these brethren in Thessalonica. You know, problem is not knowledge. Then he says the next phrase is, for this is the will of God. All right, what God, what's your will for me? Even your sanctification. And sanctification means that we are set apart for a spiritual service that's been designed by God. God, I want you to guide me in the way that I'm to behave in assembly, in life, at work, at home. Sanctify me. Set me apart for your service. Dedicate me in your life. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Live differently than the world lives. The verse continues, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, this body, in sanctification and honor. Live an honorable life. That's the admonition. That's the exhortation. Now, if we've messed up, we can repent and get back into God's favor. Some people worry, oh, I've messed it up. Wow. Sometimes people start thinking, you know, that phrase is, my sins are too many. They're too horrible. And I've committed them for too long. God cannot forgive me. Oh, no. Oh, God can. And God will. When you come back to Him His way. Because some people have that emotion. I've just messed it up so bad. I can never be accepted. And that's the gracious, amazing grace, good news of God. That you can come. The very last phrase, I didn't put this in your notes, but verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Yeah. Well, the list keeps going on, Paul. And then in verse 16, he says, take heed to yourself. So here, all right, now take it to heart, Timothy. I want you to be the example. Now take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in so doing, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear you. So the example that we set not only can accomplish our own salvation, it has the ability to influence the salvation of others. So he begins, you, Timothy, you set the stage. You start. You be the core. You be the one that we... that you want others to emulate. And when everyone, if you do this, everyone is just like you. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Last thing, I'll close with this. Paul says, you are writing a gospel. You are writing a gospel. A chapter each day. You're writing a gospel, a good news message. A chapter each day. By the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men, read what you write, whether faithless or true. So say, what is the gospel according to you? What's the gospel according to you? In all of these areas. People read or hear what we say, but they read what we do. So that's the message today. Always at the end of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. The one here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, we can accomplish that. Just simply need to let your resolve be known. Simple plan, simple procedure. We repeat it every time we assemble. You need to hear the word of God. That God so loved the world, He gave a Son. Yeah. And then number two, you'll need to believe that message. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. And so then there's a third step that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish either. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to perish. So then the plan continues with Philip preaching Jesus to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. And the Ethiopian interrupts the Philip's sermon and says, here's water, anything hindering or stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. Philip, an Ethiopian, made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when Philip heard that, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. When those four things are in place, number five, you can be baptized. When those prerequisites are set, you qualified yourself to be baptized. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply need to let it be known. While we're singing this song or at the close of the song, just come and have a seat beside me and let that desire request be known. Yes, for prayers for strength or encouragement. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.